آیا ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
The reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto chapter 13 text number 45 this chapter is entitled as Brahma stilling the boars and calves
tamya tamahava naiharan khadyotarcher ivahane mahatita mayaisham nihanti atmani yunjatah tamyam tamovannaiharam khadyotarcher ivahane mahatitar mayaisham nihantatmane yunjatah tamyam tamovannaiharam khadyotarcher ivahane mahatitar mayaisham nihantyatmani yunjatah
na hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare hare
tamyam tamovan naiharam khadyotarcher ivahane mahatitar mayaisham Nihanti Atmani Yunjatah. As the darkness of snow or on a dark night and the light of a glowworm in the light of a day have no value. The mystic power of an inferior person who tries to use it against the person of a great power is unable to accomplish anything. Instead, the power of that inferior person is diminished. So this pastime of Lord Brahma's bewilderment is a very important lesson. Lord Brahma is considered as Adi Kavayo, whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead originally taught this knowledge. But it is also explained, even though he is Adi Kavayo, in that same verse in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the invocation verse of the Bhagavatam, Muyanti Yat Suryaha. The bewilderment of the great personality is quite possible in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The whole personification Brahma is made of intelligence. Nothing but intelligence. There is absolutely no ignorance. But still, this great Brahmaji is completely bewildered. When was he bewildered? When he tried to understand Krishna. He tried to test Krishna. And because he tried to test Krishna, he experienced this great bewilderment. Srila Prabhupada explains that doubt is the sign of intelligence. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Kapila Muni is speaking to Mother Devahuti, he speaks about that doubting is the sign of intelligence. Unless you doubt, you don't progress. But doubting the words of the authority, the bona fide authority, is not sign of intelligence, rather sign of bewilderment. Therefore, when we hear Krishna consciousness is science, but what kind of science is this? Science means you have theory, then you actually experiment it, and then you get the result. So what kind of science Krishna consciousness is? The science of Krishna consciousness is the science of faith. It is no other science other than the science of faith. So when we apply ourselves And where does faith originate from? Faith does not originate from mind or intelligence or false ego. Faith is the natural character of the living entity. He is naturally drawn to something which he likes. In the 17th chapter, when Arjuna asked from the Lord, if somebody is involved in worshipping somebody without the injections of the Shastra, how do you understand him? And the Lord explained that means his faith is based upon three modes: Sattva Guna, Rajoguna and Tamoguna. So therefore, from very beginning in the Bhagavad Gita, even though Bhagavad Gita is a very logical scripture, Bhagavad Gita does not teach anything blind following. Very logically, Krishna presents to Arjun in a very systematic manner. But at one point of time, Krishna frankly tells Arjun, just worship me. Why? Because logic and intelligence does not work. Krishna in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, he speaks about body and mind, he speaks about body and the soul. Then in the third chapter he speaks about performing Nishkam Karma Yoga. And in that chapter suddenly Krishna raises the point of worshipping him. So therefore, we understand that the principle of worshipping somebody is a natural character of a living entity. One cannot avoid it. One's intelligence does not work. You see, in the world, a devotee of the Lord, he wonders, how can people worship somebody so stupid? Like Ravindra Swarup Prabhu explains, when people talk about logic and intelligence in regards to understanding God, they condemn blind following, worshipping God. But they don't stop. They don't worship God, but the direction continues at the Hollywood and Bollywood. Naturally drawn to worship somebody. When we give our natural faith in worshipping God, making him our hero, then what happens? You have to make somebody as a hero without using your intelligence. If you actually use your intelligence, then you can understand even from a material platform, they are not supposed to be associated with. Try to keep as far as possible from them. But why there is unrestricted attraction to the sportsmen and sportswomen and film stars and film actresses? Why? Because we have taken out that faculty, that natural faith which we have in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by utilizing so-called material intelligence, saying that why should I worship God? Why should I render service to God? When we do that, and that faith is taken away, but you have to use it somewhere else, then you are drawn to worship these kind of people. It is unavoidable. So therefore, Lord Krishna, even though he teaches very systematic philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, at one point of time, he very clearly, frankly, he orders Arjuna to worship him, become his devotee. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is the science of faith. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Krishna was teaching Uddhava, he said one can use the intelligence to understand the difference between body and the soul. You understand his material nature. And after that, at one point of time, one has to give up this intelligence. Because this intelligence will not help us in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna consciousness means learning the art of depending on Krishna. So when we try to learn the art of depending on Krishna, we cannot apply intelligence. At one point of time, we have to simply follow blindly the words of our spiritual master. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Jada Bharat was speaking to Maharaj Rahugan, it's amazing, when great personalities make mistake, their mistake also got great effect. When an ordinary person makes a mistake, you know, he's punished very severely. But when the great personalities make mistake, their mistake also brings for great results. We see Parikshit Maharaj from nowhere. No, he would never do that, even in his dreams. No, Mahabharata also explains, Srimad Bhagavatam also explains. That day Parikshit Maharaj went for hunting and he shot one animal and that animal disappeared. And he was so exhausted, he came to the ashram of Shamika Rishi. Such a civilized king, why could you do that? He picked up a dead snake and he put it around the neck of Shamika Rishi. Now when an ordinary person does that, he goes to hell. There is no other consequences than going to hell. If you do that to a great personality like Shamika Rishi, who was a great sadhu. So when he put that, so because Parikshit Maharaj was great, so his mistake also gave a great result. Srimad Bhagavatam was produced. So therefore judging, why did Parikshit Maharaj do that? But just see the result. We should not compare our mistakes with the mistakes of the great personalities. Our mistakes simply bring forth more and more reaction. We are bound. Our good results or our good activities or bad activities, they simply bind us in this material world. Even though Brahma was bewildered, therefore, as a respect to Lord Brahma, in the Madhva Sampradaya, they don't talk about this pastime. How can we discuss about the bewilderment of our great Acharya? You know, that is an insult. Even if he's made a mistake, you can't talk about that. Just like I think in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the great personalities, they saw Lord Brahma running after his own daughter, they were bewildered, therefore they were cursed. So the great personalities, when they make mistake, that brings forth a great philosophical discourse also. We are discussing this in temple at Radha Gopinath. Jada Bharat, we are doing Jada Bharat episode. And very powerful instruction given by Jada Bharat to Maharaj Rahugan. Now Maharaj Rahugan's whole plan was, he was going to Kapila Ashram to learn Shastra from Kapila Muni. But the disposition what he had, you know, driving on the palanquin carried by some big people. Of course they were not big people, they were Shudras. And he was going, you know, with great pride. Naturally you can't do that. If you come to hear Krishna Katha, but you have your own disposition of, you know, greatness, that I am so great, you can't hear anything. And Jada Bharat had to carry his palanquin at one point of time. And he was walking slow because he was an avadhut. He would look down and if there are some ants, he would stop. One acharya explains that because Jada Bharat was walking like that, other shudras were walking fast because they were scared of the chastisement of the king. But Jada Bharat, because he was indifferent to the chastisement of the king, he suddenly stopped at one point of time when he saw the ants. And because of that imbalance, you know, Rahugan fell down from the chariot, from the palanquin. Naturally, if the king falls, you can imagine what will happen. He will chastise. And he chastised Jada Bharat. And usually when you make a big personality carry your palanquin, what do you get? You get a curse. Just like in the Mahabharata, there is a story of Nahusha. Nahusha became Indra. No, as a substitute, Indra he became when Indra was cursed. Not only became Indra, after that he also desired that, why not only Indra, why not enjoy Sachi also? So then he proposed to her and she said she was scared. And she took advice from some sages. And the sages said to stop Nahusha because he's so proud. He's not going to listen to anybody. So what you have to say, that you have to tell him that if you want to enjoy with me, you should be carried by some sages. They should carry you on the palanquin. And then you have to come to me. Then it's easier. Just see Nahusha. He was an intelligent king. Again, he is the ancestor of the Pandavas. Great personality. So, but because he was so infatuated by this lusty feeling, he could not understand what kind of proposition she is offering to me. And she agreed, and he ordered the sages, you should carry me. And they were carrying. And he was so restless to go there. At one point of time, he said, Sarpa, Sarpa, and he kicked one of the sage. He said, go fast. Sarpa also means going fast. And whom did he kick? He kicked Bhrigu Maharshi. Saying that, Sarpa, Sarpa, go fast. And what do you get from him? Bhrigu Maharshi said, you say Sarpa, you become Sarpa. Huh? And you become Sarpa. And he became Sarpa. But here when Jada Bharat, when he was cursed by Rahugan or chastised by Rahugan, not only blunt chastisement, but Rahugan was quite sarcastic. If you directly reprimand somebody, it doesn't hurt so much. But if you are sarcastic, that is very painful. And Jada Bharat was being indirectly chastised by Rahugan being very sarcastic. But what did he receive? He received beautiful instruction by Jada Bharat. Jada Bharat started giving very beautiful instruction to Maharaj Rahugan. That is the speciality of being great. So when the great personalities make the mistake, we should not judge from our point of view. Yesterday we were discussing, sometime within our society also, some big devotees, those who did big service to Srila Prabhupada, they did really big mistakes. Very big mistakes. Like Brahma here, can you imagine what he was doing? He was trying to separate Krishna's friends and Krishna's dear cows and calves from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That offense was much bigger offense than Indra sending rains in Vrindavan. That's what Acharya has explained. That even though Indra had the desire to kill all the Vrijvasis, but that was not a bigger offense. He wanted to simply physically kill all the Vrijvasis. But fortunately for Indra, he did not separate the Vrijvasis from Krishna. Therefore, that was not a bigger offense. On the other hand, Lord Brahma, from a material point of view, he was not doing a big offense. He was simply wanted to know Krishna. Who is this person? Some acharyas explain. When the Lord, after killing Aghasur demon, of course this whole pastime again, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is so exciting. Parikshit Maharaj heard this story and he picked up one word which was spoken by the coward boys. What was that? Just now Krishna killed Aghasur demon. He picked up that. He said, how is that? He said, this story took place 1 year back. And how is that the coward friend they are saying just now it took place? And seeing Parikshit Maharaj's attentiveness in listening to Krishna Katha, then the story is told by Sukadeva Goswami. No, actually in between this what happened? That Lord Brahma stole the cows of Krishna. He stole all the coward boys. That's how the story is coming up. As we discussed last time, that it is not that Parikshit Maharaj had notes of questions. These are my questions I am going to ask my Guru Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj had these thick notes. I am going to speak very prepared. Based upon the inspiration created by Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami was speaking. So then when Brahmaji made this mistake, apparently from a material point of view, it was not a big mistake. But from Krishna's point of view, what was it? It was a big mistake. He separated all Krishna's friends and Krishna's cows from him. Therefore, even though Brahmaji offered these big prayers, Srila Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Krishna did not respond to Lord Brahma. He did not say anything to him. The prayers of Brahmajis are so powerful and very sweet. It just simply conquers the heart of a sadhaka. So the point is that Brahmaji, in his prayers to Lord Krishna, he narrates that when we apply our intelligence in trying to understand Krishna, and testing Krishna, is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Bewilderment is guaranteed. Therefore, Jananivas Prabhu, and he was mentioning one time, he said that in Krishna consciousness, when he came to devotional service first time, because of that simplicity, you know, is a personification of humility, personification of simplicity. When he came to know about the process of Krishna consciousness, he said, I did not try to analyze with my intelligence. I said, let me use everything what is required to practice devotional service. And what is it? The faith. From very beginning, he started practicing the process of Krishna consciousness. And that is what is the requirement to practice devotional life. The principle of material intelligence will not take us anywhere. Especially the Shastra of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Yes, Bhagavad Gita may require some intelligence to apply. But Srimad Bhagavatam especially, no intelligence is required. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, at the fifth canto, all these logicians are stopped. What does Sukadeva Goswami do? Suddenly, he starts describing heavenly planets. He talks about Jambudvipa, he talks about hellish planet. So all the logicians, when they read it, they are bewildered. The mango, which is falling from the tree, converts into a juice, then it becomes gold. No, there is no logic in that. So when some logician reads that, he said, what is this? It is all fantasy. And he walks out of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam says, very good, you are out, because it is not for you. It is meant for those who are non-envious. Those who have no envy, they can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, when we practice devotional service in that faith, and even if we make some mistake while practicing devotional service, that only brings greater benefit. Of course, that doesn't mean that we have to make mistake. Lord Brahmaji did that. But because he did it, what came out? Beautiful prayers came out of his mouth. And some of the prayers are quoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Gopinath Acharya was discussing with Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, again, who was Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya? He was Brihaspati. He knew all the Shastras. And he was trying to judge Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What to speak of judge Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He wanted to teach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gopinath Acharya said, that is ludicrous. You are so fool. He directly spoke like that. He said, you are such a madman. You are trying to teach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is audacity. That is impudence on your part. But Gopinath, Sarvam Bhattacharya said, no. He said, he's a young sannyasi. I need to teach him. Because how will he maintain his sannyas vows? And Gopinath Acharya was really angry with his relative. Sarvam Bhattacharya was his relative. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he exhibited his supreme humility. He said, no, he's my elder, let him teach me. And Mahaprabhu was sitting there, listening to Sarvam Bhattacharya, speaking all nonsense. Can you imagine somebody speaks 7 days nonsense and you keep quiet? Sometime a preacher, because, you know, he knows some philosophy, a little nonsense also he cannot tolerate. He becomes very disturbed. He wants to immediately set everything right. Like Srila Prabhupada, one time when he was flying, you know, in the flight, people were smoking cigarette. In those times they used to do like that. And then some of the devotees were very disturbed. They wanted to go and almost fight them. Prabhupada said, you can't just tolerate this much also. So preaching, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard Sarvam Bhattacharya's nonsense for 7 days. And after he spoke for 7 days, Bhattacharya is confused. Does he understand anything? He is not responding. Like a dead stone is sitting there and not responding. Then he asked, my dear sir, do you understand anything? Mahaprabhu said, I understand everything. But not your explanation. He said, the understanding of the Shastras are as clear as the noonday sun. But your explanation is like a dark cloud, the monsoon clouds. They are covering the real explanation. That was the first jolt he got. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he destroys the arrogance of Sarvam Bhattacharya. Again, Sarvam Bhattacharya was also a great personality. And Mahaprabhu spoke, the Atmarama verse, excluding all the 9 explanation given by Bhattacharya, he gave 64 different explanation. And when Bhattacharya heard that, he said, "You are the Supreme Personality of God. Nobody can give such explanation." It was revealed to him. And then Gopinath Acharya, when he saw Sarvam Bhattacharya play around, that's what happens. A great, great scholar, when you are great, then you have to act greatly. You have to exhibit so-called sobriety, act very gravely. But when you become a devotee of the Lord, the same Sarvam Bhattacharya, in the Narendra Sarovar, he was playing, throwing and splashing waters with other great devotees of the Lord. When Gopinath Acharya saw that he has given that deceptive attitude of being so-called great and acting childlike, he was wonderstruck. And he spoke to Mahaprabhu. He said, "My dear Lord, only because of you, your mercy has made this Bhattacharya. Otherwise, he was like Bhehu Bhehu, like a jackal, always making big, big sound of Jnana Marg. Now, what is he doing? He is playing like a small child." Mahaprabhu said, "No, it's not my mercy, because he's connected to you. Simply because he's connected to you, therefore there is a complete change." And in this prayer, when Brahmaji offers prayers to Lord Krishna, he gives the hint of coming as Haridas Thakur, Brahma Haridas. He said, in whatever life, in the future life, in whatever animal life or aquatic life, in whatever life I come, I just want to become a humble devotee of the Lord. So he gave the big position of of Lord Brahma, and he came as Haridas Thakur, born not even in the Varnashram Dharma. He was born in a Muslim Mlecha family. And he acted so meekly. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri after traveling all over South India, Haridas Thakur was lying in a corner, in a soil of Jagannath Puri, just like an animal, because he considered himself so fallen and so insignificant. He was lying there. And Mahaprabhu recognized him. Lord Chaitanya went to embrace Srila Haridas Thakur. So therefore, the whole domain of devotional service is not the domain of using or understanding God through our intelligence. We can use our intelligence. We can use our mind. We can use our senses. But we cannot understand through our senses. We cannot understand through our intelligence. We cannot understand Krishna through our mind. In the episode of Jadabharat and Rahugan, Jadabharat told him, one who worships one spiritual master and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Upasana Astrat. He said, that is the astra of our Upasana. And such a person, Jadabharat explains, can easily overcome the influence of the 3 modes of material nature and attain liberation. And Jadabharat explains to Rahugun there that one cannot attain Krishna by tapasya. Only one who smears his body with the dust of the great devotees of the Lord, he can actually become a great. In the Mahabharata, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was speaking to Yaksha, that's his own father, Yaksha asked this question, "What is the path?" And he explained, "My dear Yaksha, the path is that Tarko Pratishto Shutayor Vibhinna." There are many scriptures. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, there are 50 varieties of scripture. And all these different samhitas or scripture, they speak completely differently. And if you read them, you'll be bewildered. Like if somebody reads Mahabharat and reads Bhagavad as a kind of a study to just observe and analyze, one story is spoken differently in the Bhagavad, another story is spoken completely differently in Mahabharat. The story of Parikshit Maharaj, along with the verses in the Mahabharat, it is spoken, either it is interpolation coming from outside, or it is what it is in the Mahabharat. It is bewildering story. for an ordinary person. It says that when Parikshit Maharaj heard that within 7 days he will be cursed by the Takshak, he will come and bite him, the Mahabharata says that he built a big palatial mansion. He went high roof on the top of the building and he gave order that from this day onwards till the 7 days over, nobody is allowed to come inside. Nobody is allowed to come inside. It doesn't speak about Parikshit Maharaj coming to the bank of Ganga. So for 7 days, Parikshit Maharaj is sitting there, you know, protecting himself. All the guards were there. They would not allow anybody outside, or not even an insect. And Takshak, he sent some of Nagas in the human form. They said, go and offer these fruits to Parikshit. And they came there with some nice fruits. And the fruits were brought to Parikshit. And some other he felt, okay, I want to eat these fruits. He was tempted to eat those fruits. And one of the fruit had a small insect. And Parikshit said, okay, now since I have been cursed by this Brahmana boy, let his curse be fulfilled. Let this small insect, which I name as Takshak, come and bite me. And he was laughing loudly. And that small insect became very big and bit him, and that's how he was killed. How does it sound? Completely bewildering. Not according to the philosophy of Bhagavatam. So therefore the Shastras are many. And what are the Shastras? Shastras are written by great sages. Different samhitas and different Upanishads are spoken. There is one Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad. What is the origin of this Upanishad? One of the students, when he heard from his guru, and then he became proud. He said, I know better than you. In the Shastras also it is there. And then the guru said, okay, you have taken all this knowledge, vomit all. He said, you have taken from me, but you are so proud, you are not entitled to hold this knowledge, vomit it out. So the student, he vomited all the knowledge. And the Taittiriya bird, they came and they ate all that. And that's how Taittiriya Upanishad came to existence. So there are, Shastras are very bewildering. If you simply read the Shastras, 100% guaranteed that you'll be bewildered. No doubt about it. Just like if you go to different doctors, they will tell you different things. So similarly, if you go to different Shastras, they'll give you different advice. Therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, many Shastras are there. According to one's disposition, different sages have compiled them. Every Muni has his own opinion. So then what is the path? Mahajana ena gatasya pantaha. Better you follow the Mahajanas. And by following the Mahajanas and following their orders and practicing spirituality, then Krishna is easily revealed. We see here, now Brahmaji was bewildered and he started realizing that I am so insignificant, I am like a glowworm and Krishna is like a sun. I am like a snowball. I am so insignificant. My mystic power also comes from Krishna. When he started realizing that, then what happened? In the next verse we read, the Supreme Personality of Godhead started revealing His Vishnu Murti from each child. Every coward boy, every calf, every cow, they converted themselves into 400 Vishnu Murti. And that was more bewildering to Lord Brahma. So as long as one is not surrendered and submissive, even if Krishna presents Himself in His original form, what does it do? It further bewilders the conditioned souls. When Hiranyakashipu, when he saw Lord Vishnu in the form of Lord Narsingadev, he was not enlightened. He was more confused. That's what Bhagavat says. And he wanted to fight Lord Vishnu. Therefore, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is that one learns the art of depending on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the whole pastimes of Vrindavan Leela. In Vrindavan Leela, all the Brijbasis, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, the gopis and the cowherd boys, what do? They simply depend on Krishna. And anybody who exhibits mystic potency, he is thoroughly smashed. The demons came there, they were killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indra came many times, every time he got bewildered, he used his mystic power to kill Krishna, but Krishna smashed him. Lord Brahma came to test Krishna, he was bewildered. So therefore, the process of devotional service, as Brahmaji is speaking, Jnane Prayasa Udapasya Namanta Eva, that when we give up our process of speculative knowledge, Udapasya, giving up, Namanta Eva, and then offer worship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead while hearing Bhavadiya Varta, the Varta means the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead spoken by Krishna and spoken by Krishna's devotees. Then such a devotee of the Lord, even though Krishna is unconquerable, Krishna is conquered by such devotees. Srila Sanatana Goswami gives the purport. Tanuman Manobi, by his body he conquers Krishna, and by his words he can call Krishna, Krishna come here, and Krishna comes. And with his mind, Krishna becomes easily accessible to such a devotee. Mind is so restless. Sankalpa vikalpa, obstinate, unsteady, turbulent. Just see how many adjectives Krishna is using about the mind. But for such a devotee, one is hearing about Krishna, Bhavadiya Varta, such Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is conquered by the body, conquered by the mind, and conquered by the words. And then, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti and Acharyas explain, Tanuman Manobi also means that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is conquered. He is always thinking about devotee. He thinks about his devotees within his mind. Therefore, devotional service, the path of devotional service is far different from other path. Therefore, as the practicing devotees, our main focus in sadhana bhakti is not to acquire more and more information, because information does not bring any transformation. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, mere information without the progress of thought is enemy of the progress. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, he was a great philosopher. He read all the Christian literatures. He read everything, but he was still confused. But when he received Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, why? Because these scriptures are nectar scriptures. They are not the scriptures for analyzing. They are the scripture for relishing and practicing devotional service. Therefore, what does the invocation prayer say? That those who are non-envious, those who don't envy Krishna, only they are qualified to read and relish the shastras. So when he read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it became very clear to him. This is the thing. And therefore he started practicing. Of course, he's a pure devotee, but still he was acting as if he was a big scholar. And he was very much influenced by the Shastra of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that's what he made his goal of life, to preach the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, Lord Brahma is teaching this principle to us. As a practicing devotees, if we just blindly follow the process, there is a verse that in the highway, if you close your eyes, like some devotees are saying, like in some places, you can lock your steering wheel in the, you know, the highways of in Germany. And you can also be quite comfortable. You don't have to be alert while driving. Why? Because the roads are so straight and so broad, there is no question of accident. And similarly in Krishna consciousness, by simply practicing the process of chanting 16 rounds in the association of devotees, hearing about Krishna, the desired result will automatically come. On the other hand, if you don't do like that and try to analyze the Shastra, our analyzing of the Shastra is the beginning of bewilderment. And as you read more and more, further bewilderment takes place. As Srila Prabhupada explains here, when Brahma decided to test Krishna, that was the beginning of his entanglement. and he was getting more and more entangled as the pastime was progressing further. But the same pastime, when we read Brahma's bewilderment with a proper understanding, it's simply relishable. Even though this pastime, and whenever Brahmaji must be remembering, he must be saying, what a mistake I did. But when a devotee read this pastime, they're simply amazed. So therefore, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is not to analyze Krishna. No, I love this statement where Prabhupada said, our process is not to know Krishna. What is our process? Our process is to love Krishna. In loving Krishna, knowing is also included. And therefore, Brahmaji, he gave up all of his mental speculative path. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam also, Narad Muni explains to Lord Vyasadeva, Naishkarmim apyachuta bhava varjitam, nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam. The knowledge of self-realization, what kind of knowledge? Knowledge of self-realization, devoid of achyuta, does not satisfy. It is useless. So one may have the knowledge of self-realization. That means he knows the difference between body and the soul. He knows the difference between the body and the soul and the material nature. He also has the understanding of God. But if he does not engage in devotional service to the achyuta, nashobate jnanam alam niranjanam, achyuta bhava varjitam, if that bhava is, that consciousness is not there, then that is useless. Therefore, Narad Muni is condemning, in one sense, Vyasadeva, for compiling the scriptures which does not sufficiently glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the whole mission of Srila Prabhupada to establish Krishna consciousness is to do what? Is to simply glorify Krishna in the association of devotees. When we glorify Krishna in the association of devotees, in that glorification, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests. So therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are discussing that. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the scripture which is the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we cannot understand our own mind, but here, by the mercy of great devotees like Rupa Goswami, Kaviraj Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, we are able to understand a mind. That is quite inconceivable. Where big scholars, they study Shastra and they are bewildered, but here, the ordinary, the fallen people of age of Kali, rotten people of this age of Kali are able to relish the nectarian pastimes of Krishna. How is that? You cannot understand. Therefore, simply relish it in the association of devotees. And when we do it, then we can experience the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Study the sacred conversation of ours is worshipping me with his intelligence.
Yes.
So, how do these scholars figure with this shloka? They are also using their intelligence. So, is it their attitude that is wrong or?
No, as I said, you can use your intelligence in Krishna's service. That is allowed. But don't try to know Krishna through your intelligence. There's a difference. You can use your senses also. But don't try to understand Krishna through your senses. You say, I want to see God. Unless I see God, I don't accept. That is demoniac. If you expect that you can understand Krishna through your intelligence, that is wrong. But you can use your intelligence in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understand the difference? You sense, what is intelligence? In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapil Muni explains, knowledge acquiring senses and the working senses, they come from the mode of passion. With the foundation of false ego. When you have a false ego, and then, your mode of passion is there. Mode of passion and false ego, if they bring forth the principle of intelligence, what is intelligence? It is nothing but matter. Somebody was saying, mind is matter when seen from inside, and matter is mind when seen from outside. Did you get this one? Similarly with intelligence. What is intelligence? Intelligence is nothing but matter. So how can matter understand which is not matter? Is it possible? It's a special matter. One devotee was giving Bhagavatam class. He said, the difference between the mind matter and matter is that the matter which is matter, you know, it may not act. But mind is like a car, you know, automatic car. It is also matter, but it has got different functions. So similarly, this matter mind, which is matter, acts very, very trickily. It's difficult to understand, even though it is matter. Even though mind and intelligence are matter, we give them as if they are realities and personalities. So can you imagine that we want to use this mind, which is matter, use intelligence, which is matter, and false ego, which is really matter. Srila Prabhupada explains, when consciousness is contaminated by material atmosphere, that is false ego. So how can these things, you know, help us understand Krishna and appreciate Krishna? Not possible. They will only bewilder us. That is Krishna's compassion that He allows us to use them in His service so that we can purify them. On our own, when we try to use them and try to understand Krishna, you cannot. But that is Krishna's special mercy. Okay, you can use your mind, you can use your intelligence, you can use your senses in serving me. When you serve, the understanding doesn't come in the intelligence. The understanding doesn't come in the mind. The understanding doesn't come to the senses. Understanding comes to the spirit soul. It revives back its original state. And when the soul understands, once we get that faith from the principle of the heart, when that is there, then naturally the intelligence also understands, the mind also understands, the senses also understand. So therefore, Bhakti Yoga is the process of, you know, using everything in Krishna's service, doubting our propensities in the service. If you are given that intelligence because of your previous conditioning, it is all coming because of the previous conditioning. Good intelligence or bad intelligence, all comes because of our previous background. It's a previous baggage. It's a previous karma. One can use it in the service of the Lord. That is, Krishna is saying that if you do it, then you are worshipping with your intelligence. Therefore, what did Mahaprabhu say to Tapan Mishra? Bahu Shastra, Bahu Akya, Chitte Brahma Hoy. That one who reads. Who can read all the Shastra? One who has intelligence. Those who are intelligent, they can collect so much of information. There are some people, I met one person. I went to his house. You know, he's got a duplex flat in Bombay. And I think he specially purchased those duplex flat just so that he can stack scriptures. He has got all different kinds of scriptures. All the four Vedas are there. 108 Upanishads are there. I don't know from various collected. All 108 Upanishads are there. 18 Puranas are there. And the commentaries of different Acharyas are there in English, Gujarati and in Hindi. But he's the most bewildered person I've ever seen in regards to understanding about Krishna. He cannot conceive the idea of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his wife, she doesn't read the scripture and she very affectionately worships Bal Gopal in her altar. This is the example. Very simple. And he can quote more shlokas than anybody else. But he is the most bewildered person. That is the proof. He can read. He is very intelligent, materially very brilliant, very qualified person. But what is his level? That even after reading all that Shastra, he cannot understand. And that South Indian Brahmin, he had no disposition, plus he didn't know how to read. But still he was trying to read. And what did he see? He saw Krishna there in that Bhagavad Gita. And Mahaprabhu said, you are the one who understands really what Bhagavad Gita is. And that has to make very clear. Therefore, as a devotees, as the practicing devotees, we read Bhagavatam not to understand with our intelligence. That is the instruction of our spiritual master. That's a bhakti. Following of the instruction of the spiritual master is the foundation to read the Shastra. If our spiritual master orders, okay, analyze the Shastra, that instruction helps you not to be bewildered by reading the Shastra. Satsuru Maharaj writes, one of his students, when he was helping him in some research work, he was reading many Hindu scriptures. He said, after some time he was so bewildered, he had to stop him. Okay, you stop now. You just come in the temple every day, chant Hare Krishna with the devotees, hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. When he did that for a long time, then confusion was over. Another disciple of Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was so brilliant. He learned Sanskrit within 1 or 2 years. And he could give very big, big classes. And for him to hear from regular ISKCON devotees in 70s, you can imagine, they were not so learned, but simple-hearted. He would not like their classes. And he started going to Babaji's in Radhakund. And when Prabhupada came to know about this, Prabhupada said, okay, you don't go to them because they'll bewilder you. You think that others cannot give good class, then you give class every day. Then what happened? He asked Prabhupada blessing. Prabhupada, give me blessings so that I can go to higher guru. Prabhupada said, I bless you that you will go to hell. Not that Prabhupada wanted to send him hell, but that was the consequences. And he went to Radhakund. Within few days he flew back to New York, and you know, he was working in a petrol pump, in a gas station. A big, big Sanskrit scholar, knew all the Shastras. So the understanding, we can analyze it, but that is not the, it is not coming from the heart. When we analyze some Shastra, we should not feel, oh, what a realization I have, I'm making great progress. No, that is, you know, you have a brilliant intelligence given by the material nature because of your previous karma, and you are able to analyze the Shastras with your intelligence. No, it is not necessarily spiritual. But because you follow the instruction of your spiritual master, and then when you read the Shastra, when you analyze that, that will not cause bewilderment. You have to understand the difference. Our one Prabhupada's godbrother said, reading the Shastras without the instructions of the spiritual master, even the bhakti Shastras, they turn into Shastra of knowledge. They simply become the Shastra of information. I think, is it clear?
Can you elaborate a little bit the difference between understanding Krishna with our intelligence and using intelligence in his service? That means you're talking about preaching, that we understand the basic philosophy and present it in a nice way. That is using intelligence in his service, or for memorizing verses?
No, Ridhanand Maharaj gave a very simple example. So the difference between using our intelligence in Krishna's service and understanding, that difference is mental speculation and philosophical speculation. For a sadhaka, philosophical speculation is allowed. And he gave one premises. When we read in the Shrimad, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the taste of the water. But the basic principle of, I believe this, I have complete faith in this. A devotee says, I put faith. No question of questioning that statement of the Lord. He accepts it. And based upon that, he realizes, he tries to understand how Krishna is taste in the water. Then he comes to the same conclusion, which faith he had already, that yes, I accept Krishna is the taste of water. Understand the point? That is using intelligence. That in the beginning only you believe it. Not believe, you have faith in that. And based upon that premises of your faith, which comes from the heart, you try to understand. That is using your intelligence. On the other hand, trying to understand or analyze is that when you read, okay, Krishna is taste of the water, then you say, how is it possible? How is it possible? And I can't agree with this. Then when you make a premises based upon that disposition, then you lead to the conclusion that Krishna cannot be the taste of the water. Many intelligent people, one of the biggest obstacles on the path of devotional service is too much of material intelligence. Because when they read such statement, when you read the statement, you know, which is farther, sun or moon? The big discussion always goes on within our society about that, which is farther. And when you try to make, when you put more intelligence to that, try to understand it, the bewilderment takes place. When Purushottam, one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, when he saw Prabhupada play around with a small child, he was bewildered. What is this? He said, how can a pure devotee do like that? When he tried to analyze the activities of pure devotee, bewilderment took place. Then it went up to such an extent, even the Prabhupada was saying that, I don't accept their landing on the moon. No? He is saying that they are landing on the moon. At least, you know, they are showing something. Just see, he could put more faith on that idiot box and not put faith in the words of the spiritual master. So these things will happen in our life many times. We will have choices. Very clear indication, just see. Your eyes are able to understand, your senses are able to understand, your intelligence is able to understand. And the shastras speak complete contradiction to what you are seeing, what you are understanding and what you are perceiving. Then what do you do? That is the challenge. He gave up. He said, no, I cannot take it. He gave up Krishna consciousness. He started again doing the same thing what he was doing. No, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So therefore, yes, we use them in understanding the premises. Okay, if Krishna says, I accept it. Like one time I asked this question to Radhananda Maharaj about certain principles in the Bhagavatam. He said, not everything is meant for you to understand. If you can understand everything, that means you conquer Krishna by your intelligence. He said, no. Some things are there so that you can be bewildered. You should be bewildered. To know that you are very insignificant. If Brahmaji is bewildered by going through that pastime, why not we should be bewildered by reading this pastime? Like Madhvacharya, he did not quote. That is another sense of bewilderment. He did not write anything about this pastime in his Bhagavad commentary. He skips that pastime. You know, he doesn't speak anything about it. He is bewildered by the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. That is his greatness. So therefore, when we read something, something pops in the Shastra, completely bewildering. That means you are dragging Shastras to your level. If I understand, then I go further. No. You try to go to their level. Or request them to make you understand. Because Shastra is not different from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. So that is the principle. When Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he was studying that 24 and a half, right, that moons, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when it talks about Krishna's personality, Krishna's personality has got 24 and a half moons. Kaviraj Goswami explains. So when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur started calculating, he only found 24, some, I don't know exact number. He was not bewildered. What was his disposition? He knew that Kaviraj Goswami cannot make any mistakes. But how is that I am not able to understand? Therefore he started fasting till death. He said, I will give up my life. Because Kaviraj Goswami cannot make any mistake, but my calculation is saying that, different from Kaviraj Goswami's calculation, he didn't say, okay, Kaviraj Goswami is wrong, forget it, no. He said, I will die. He started fasting till death. Then Srimati Radharani came and revealed to him. He said, actually, Kaviraj Goswami is right. And she revealed to him how it is 24 and a half moons. Therefore, Madhvacharya explained one of the greatest evidence over Pratyaksha, Anumana and Shabda is revelation. Revelation is the greatest evidence. When the Shastras are revealed to you know, by the principle of higher authorities coming and giving us that knowledge, so that is the biggest evidence. Because even Shabda, Shabda Praman, all the Shastras can confuse us. Even though amongst the three Pramana, Shabda Praman is the highest. But the Pramana of revelation is the biggest Pramana. So Narad Muni got that revelation from Brahmaji. Brahmaji got revelation from Lord Vishnu. Just see how Brahmaji got bewildered. He was the one who prayed for Krishna that he should come. When Mother Earth was tortured by the demonic forces, he was the one who was representing all the demigods, went to the shore of Milk Ocean. He prayed Lord Krishna to appear, and when Krishna appeared, he said, "Is he Krishna?" Just see. That is his greatness. And how did he accept it? Like Lord Shiva, when he was bewildered by Mohini Murti, he was so glad. He said, "Good. You know, that proves Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That I am bewildered. That proves he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And the Kanishtha devotee, when he doesn't understand, he said, "How is that I am not able to understand? There is something wrong in Krishna. Not that something wrong in me. Just see our disposition. How is that I am not able to understand? Something wrong." But here the great personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, when something is not understood by them, they said, "Great, Krishna is so wonderful. You know, how can we understand it?" That is the difference. Therefore the great personalities, even when they make mistakes, something great comes out. And when we make mistakes, nothing comes out. Only more mistakes come out. Yes?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you told these two stories about King Parikshit. So when a person hears it and doubt comes to his mind, what he should do?
Yeah, I spoke this story just to create doubts only. Even if you go to the Shukasthal where Shukadeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam, it is in between Haridwar and Delhi. They tell this story only. All the Bhagavat speakers, the professional Bhagavat speaker also narrate this story. Sometimes. Very bewildering, right? Therefore I said, if you read different Shastras, it is naturally bewildering. One understanding, I asked this question to our Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu. He gave one answer. He said, in different millennium, there are different Parikshit Maharaj. So this Parikshit Maharaj, what Mahabharata speaks, is a different one. Huh? It's possible like that. Because again, Shastra does not speak about one millennium, not this Treta Yuga, not this Dwapara Yuga, not this Satya Yuga. Like the Varaha story is there. You know, Jiva Goswami says, no, this Varaha, Shweta Varaha and Rakta Varaha, no, they are from a different millennium. One took another millennium, another took another millennium. The Ajamil story is not part of this millennium. Some other millennium. So Bhagavatam has the access to narrate stories from different millennium, even from different universes. If they have access to Golok Vrindavan, for them to have access for other universes, other millennium is not difficult. He gave one answer like that. Another understanding which we have discussed, you know, we discussed in our Brahmachari class in Radha Gopinath temple, I was sharing that when Bhakti Tirth Maharaj was living, he was living in America, when he got the news that he is getting his cancer, he decided to stay in America. And some people came and asked him, "Why don't you come to Vrindavan?" You know, he gave a superficial answer to some people. He said, "No, you know, there are better facilities in America to get treatment." Now his life, seen by the nurses and doctors, what will you see? That this person is taking so many treatments to save his life. This therapy, that therapy, went to South America in some place in South America to get treatment. So for the doctors who are not devotees, what will you see? You will only see him, you know, acting so passionately to protect his body. Because they don't see other side. You know, when you see, okay, he said, okay, there are better facilities in America to get treatment. What does it show? It shows that, you know, he has no faith in Vrindavan. He doesn't want to go through the difficulties of dying in Vrindavan because Vrindavan provides very primitive material facilities. And that's what you can see from one perspective. But if you live with him as a devotee, then what do you see? You don't see all the endeavor which he was taking to treat his body. You only see the endeavor to teach devotees how to see Vrindavan while living in the Western world. So all the disciples were creating facilities for his treatment, but he was creating a facility for the disciples to how to learn the art of dying in Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan, which is not physical, which is the concept. So for the doctors, when they see, they will only say, oh, this person struggled very hard. They will never tell the story of he being very Krishna consciousness. If you hear from the doctor's principle, from their case study, what is the case study? That this man, so and so, he went to this medicine, he took that medicine, he endeavored this one, and ultimately it was a failure, and he died because of cancer. Now Parikshit died because of snake bite. Maybe his followers, his subordinates had created that facility for him. From a mundane point of view, that story is a reality. Bhakti Tirth Maharaj died because of cancer. But from the spiritual point of view, he died because of advanced Krishna consciousness, wanting to take the karma of other devotees. So one story in the Shastra can be seen from different dimensions. And depending upon the level of your advancement, you can see the different dimensions. So Srimad Bhagavatam, from the eyes of Vasudev, in his maturity, he is seeing the same story, what he saw in the Mahabharata, in a different dimensions. What to speak of a story, even a name, I have told this, that one name has a different connotation. Like Shyamananda was telling, he gave one simple example. In the Niti, there is one king was going along with his entourage, with his wife, and his wife was very brilliant. And when they were going for Nauka Vihar in Jamuna, the wife said, "Modaka, Modaka." The king said, "My God, my wife needs some Modak." So he ordered the cooks, "Go and get Modak fast." And where will you get Modak on the boat? But the king orders and you have to fulfill. And the wife said, no, not Modak. Said, Modaka means don't sprinkle water on me. Maudaka. You cannot understand a word, what to speak understanding the pastime. I told one devotee was given name. Radhanath Swami gave one devotee this Dikshak. And he gave him the name Raghunath Puri. So all of us, we are like sometime devotees speculate again. Try to use their intelligence. Oh, what is this means? What is this Raghunath Puri means? It is connected to Ayodhya, it is connected to Raghunath Das Goswami, or Raghunath Puri is another Ranganath Puri and Ramchandra Puri, something like that. And everybody is speculating. Best go to the person who has given the name. And that devotee was also quite eager to know what is the meaning of my name. So when I went to him, I said, "Maharaj, what is the meaning of this name? Is it that connected to Lord Ramachandra?" I started giving explanation. "Is it this?" He said, "You can think whatever you want to think, but when I was giving that name, Raghunath Puri, I was thinking about Radha Kund." Let's see. Now, can you ever imagine like that? Everybody thought everything else except Radha Kund. Raghunath Puri. Raghunath Goswami's place where he performed his bhajan is Radha Kund. Only when the explanation is given by the person who is given that name, then all speculation were rested. So therefore, name itself, the word itself, has so much life in that. It connotes different thing according to your dimensions. What is your dimension? What is your level of understanding? Because of spiritual practices. So what to speak of this story? The whole pastime can be seen from different angle. Some people, they say the beginning of Kali Yuga was when, in the Mahabharata there is one king, Nala Damayanti story. He said he was affected to play the game of dais because he failed to wash his feet after responding to the call of nature. That's how Kali entered. You can imagine. In Kali Yuga, nobody washed their feet. Not to speak of feet, they don't wash hands also. So that is the, he said, that is the beginning of the influence of Kali Yuga. But Bhagavatam speaks differently. Our acharyas speak differently. Kali Yuga entered through the mind of that Brahmana boy. Again, the professional speakers say, the Kali Yuga entered into the crown of Parikshit Maharaj. According to some, if they are smart, they will see like that. If they are devotees, they will see differently. Mahabharata story, if you read the story of Yudhishthira Maharaj, some says his chariot landed on the ground after he spoke the lie. That is another dimension, which is also reality. But the higher dimension is that the chariot landed on the ground because he didn't speak lie. Exactly opposite. So we cannot understand the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the 10th verse. What is that? Aparyaptam. Tadasmakam aparyaptam. What is that? Paryaptam tadimitesham. Balam bhishma virakshitam. Balam bhima virakshitam. Baldev Vidyabhushan gives exactly opposite commentary compared to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says the army of the Pandavas protected by Bhima is limited. That is, Prabhupada is quoting Baldev Vidyabhushan. And army of the Kauravas protected by Bhishma is, you know, unlimited. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, no. The army protected by Bhishma, who was always affectionate to Pandavas, and because he is affectionate to the Pandavas, therefore aparyaptam, it is not enough to protect the Kauravas. Huh? So acharyas explain Duryodhan is being very diplomatic here by using those words. You know, he is telling Dronacharya, when I say paryaptam, Bhishma will understand that it is sufficient, but you should understand it is not sufficient. He is telling that Dronacharya. Just see, one word can give so many meaning. And Duryodhan, being a very diplomatic, is using that Bhishma should be satisfied. I am not condemning him. I am saying, okay, sufficient. But I am telling Dronacharya, it is not sufficient. Why? Because this person is so much affectionate to the Pandavas. So we need you to protect. So therefore, ultimately you have to understand from the person who is speaking it. So better understand it from Krishna. Like Prabhupada one time in Iran, he was giving a talk. And one lady, you know, she was speaking something to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, who are you? Are you a secretary of Allah? He said, Allah and Krishna is speaking like that and you are speaking something else. Are you secretary to Krishna? Why should I listen to you? You know, why not listen directly from the Lord? That's the point. So I'll stop here. Understand, bro? Shrimad Bhagavatam Granthraj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.